Welcome to Saints History, told and experienced the way God intended it, with excessive amounts of alcohol and cursing. The booze is probably bourbon because...
Other alcohols are for rich women on diets.
Now, here's your drunk Saints History host, who is...
bombed out of his gourd.
All right, welcome to Saints Drunk History. You paid for it, you get it. This episode, we are doing the 2000 Saints. Kevin is joining me because me and Kevin had a blog that lasted about 10 seconds. No, it lasted longer. We did a bunch of stuff, right, Kevin, on the blog? Hakeem dropped the ball. We did a bunch of stuff to start. We did a lot of stuff. It faded over time. But the 2000 Saints, which we were talking about this on a previous show, Kevin, that if you'd have told someone... after 99, when Ditka was a trash heap, it was disgustingly bad. If you'd have said that the 2000 Saints were going to win the first playoff game in Saints history, they'd have had you fucking committed. Like the I don't think people forget how bad a shape the Saints were after Ditka left. Like they were just totally wrecked.
Yeah, here's the other thing. Like, if I'm gonna piggyback on that, if you'd have said this, then this. if you'd have said, hey, so like that team that's gonna come along and win the first playoff game in franchise history, yeah, they are not gonna be memorialized and lionized at all in the city. In fact, it will be a blessing when they are run out of town.
That's true.
You'd have been thrown in the clink first of all, but they might have just given you the Jack Nicholson at One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest treatment.
Yeah, if you just had the first Saints team to ever win a playoff game, the quarterback's gonna throw four touchdowns in that game, and they're gonna run him out of town on a rail. Like, that's what happened to Aaron Brooks in a span of 5 years. But before we get out to all that, the 2000 Saints, going into it, like, the one thing that Ditka did, or it was a sort of a, at the time we didn't look at it as a blessing, but it really was, like, Ditka was so, like, anti-free agency, and the Saints and Q Herrick was so worried about just making sure Benson made money. Like, they didn't spend any money in free agency, hardly. Like, I think the one guy they signed was, like, Wally Williams, who's like was a guard, and they paid him a bunch of money as a guard, but that was it. Like the Saints brought in guys, but they never spent any money. So like when they were done in 99, like Randy Mueller came in, and like the Saints' books were like totally clean. So they had like a shit ton of cap space. So that was the one thing that was good from Ditka is Ditka. They were so the Saints. At least they weren't terrible in free agency. They just didn't do it. They didn't know how to be aggressive or whatever, you know, so they had clean books. And Kevin, they brought in a shit ton of people that year. Like, I mean, it's the list of free agents they signed. I mean, they did Jeff Blake and Norman Hand and
I love Norman Hand.
We'll get into a Norman Hand story later on, but they brought in Norman Hand, they brought in Joe Horn, they brought in Darren Smith and Kevin Mathis at corner and Oldham and Darren Perry and Fred Thomas and Toby Gowen and, you know, the Jeff Blake signing. Like, I think people were pretty excited about, like, it wasn't like, oh my God, over the moon, But I was pretty pumped about the Jeff Blake. I was like, well, at least he's competent. Like, he'll be okay at quarterback. He's
right.
Yeah. You know? So it was, I mean, so there was, I mean.
Hey, I'm looking at the 2000 draft.
2000 draft was
they
strong,
had,
boy.
They had nine players that they drafted.
Yeah.
They drafted nine players.
Read them out. Because it
Darren Howard was their first pick.
Home run.
Terrell Smith at fullback.
Pretty good.
He made the roster at least.
Yeah.
And that was in round four. Round five, Tutan Reyes.
Didn't play for the Saints. Played for Carolina. Didn't play for the Saints. I mean, he didn't do much for the Saints, but, you know.
And he, okay, so they had three picks in the fifth round within 35 picks of each other. Next pick, Austin Wheatley, a tight end.
Nah, fit, flop.
And, oh, sorry, and Chad Morton at running back.
He actually, fun story about Chad Morton. He holds the Saints record for most catches in a playoff game.
Jesus. All right. Round six, Mark Bulger.
Yeah. Pro Bowl quarterback, not with the Saints.
Right. Michael Hawthorne, defensive back.
He was the P.J. Williams of his day. He was tall. He was rangy. He was going to be something, but he never was.
Sherrod Gideon, wide receiver.
People were pumped about him.
I have no recollection of this guy.
He never made the team. He did some things in a mini camp one time that got people excited.
Oh, okay.
Kevin Hauser,
long snapper, film credits. Kevin Hauser was the final pick in the draft.
Yeah, Kevin Hauser played for a while for the Saints. He played for another team too. But he's known as film credit fraud guy. That's what Kevin Hauser known. So the 2000 Saints, they brought in they had Randy Miller. They did a bunch of which, you know, heading into the season, people were pretty pumped because the thing was the Saints, they really changed things around for they split. So Kevin, like 2000, the fans, I felt like the fans and the media were pretty pumped just because the Saints, we didn't know if they'd be good or whatever, but there was a feeling of like, thank God they have finally joined the modern NFL and they're going to treat free agency and they have a young general manager, Randy Mueller, and has, at least they know what they're doing and they signed a shit ton of people. At least they have join the modern NFL and at least are trying to attempt to navigate free agency. That's what I kind of felt like, you know?
Yeah, there definitely seemed to be at least a positive vibe with a new regime. And Jeff Blake seemed like a decent enough quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, too, is like people forget now, but like the Saints back then, like, they struggled to sell out that stadium, you know, like the home opener, man, in 2000, which we'll start with that. They barely sold it out, man. And they lost to Detroit and they lost 14-10 to a Detroit team that had started Stoney Case at quarterback. You know, I mean, that loss was pretty fucking terrible. And the Saints did not score an offensive touchdown in that game. Sammy Knight had a 37-yard interception return, and that was their only touchdown. I mean, that Lions team was pretty brutal. Let me look at them. No, I take it back. That Lions team was 8-8. I take it all back. That was the pre-Matt Millen. That was right before they hired Matt Millen. I take it all back. We'll get back to the Lions in a second. So they lost to the Lions, and there was a sense of, oh, shit, this team. Like, I remember, like, it was like, this is going to be a long year, man. This rebuild going to take a while. Like, there was no expectation that the Saints were going to be anything close to good, right? I don't remember that at all.
The Saints, the
2000 team, like there was no expectation that they were going to be anything close to 500 or decent, right?
I guess I was looking at it like, well, maybe, you know, just be competitive. I think that's what I was looking at. I guess the sentiment carried in 06 when the new regime came in. It's just like, just be competitive. And look, they started out 1-3 and then they had a bye week. So it was like they went into the bye week at a good time because it stopped them. Maybe it stopped a skid, but
yeah. Well, let's talk about the one thing I will say, by the way, Jeff Blake got sacked 5 times against the Lions. I think, but the one thing I will say, they started out 1-3, but that one win in San Diego was huge. Like that was a game where they played the Chargers. And that was Ryan Leaf before before Ryan Leaf became the sort of bust, all-time bust that he was going to be. Like, he started that game, and the Chargers were winning, and it looked like the Saints were kind of done in that game. And Jeff Blake let him down, and he hit Joe Horn for the game-winning score with 47 seconds left. And, you know, people were like, wow, man, Jeff Blake let him down. They look good. And that was sort of Joe Horn's coming out party. He caught 12 for a buck 16 and two touchdowns, and you were like, who is that guy? That guy they signed that we've never heard of from Itawamba Junior College and the Chiefs. Like, that dude's, like, fucking good. Like, you know, it's one of those moments where, like, it wasn't so much of, like a you know how sometimes players will just have a great game, and you'd be like, oh, that's just, like, a one-time thing. Like, Joe Horn, it felt like you're like, oh, that dude's good. Like, you know, and it got people excited.
Yeah.
But you're right. They did spiral downward, and they were 1-3, and then they played the Bears, and, like, they played the Bears. I remember they were 1-3, and they the game started, like, Mike Brown, Jeff Blake threw another interception. They're down 7-0. And then the Saints just got fucking rolling. And the thing about Jeff Blake that was, you know, he wasn't a great quarterback. But I will say this, like, as far as, like, a pretty pass that's, like, a deep ball, like, Jeff Blake, his deep ball to Joe Horn was, it was like a artwork, Kevin. It was like beautiful, was like high and beautiful and like a raindrop, you know. And maybe I'm drunk now and I'm overdoing it, but I feel like Jeff Blake threw this like pretty pass to Joe Horn, like the deep ball. And is that wrong? Is my memory just totally alcohol?
That's, I don't know, man. That's on you. I don't recall enough Jeff Blake deep passes to have a solid opinion.
Yeah, so they beat the Bears and they got to 2-3, and then they went home and they played Carolina, and they won 24-6, and like 3-3 was like a big deal, because this is pre Saints winning a playoff game. The 1990s of Jim Mora are a long fucking way away. You know, 91, 92 Saints is a long way away. Like 3-3 was like, fuck yeah, let's have a parade, you know. And then they went to Atlanta, and they won 21-19, and got to 4-3. Of course, Morton Anderson still playing for the Falcons. He kicks a 50-yard field goal, and the Falcons were still like that. They were still most of the post Super Bowl team from '98. They had Tim Dwight and all, but that was a game I remember where Ricky Williams just went nuts, and it was like, oh, yeah, Ricky Williams, pretty fucking... Ditka was totally wrong to give up everything and a future, you know, like two number ones in an entire draft. Like, that's fucking stupid. But at the time, you were kind of like, well, that's in the past now. We can't do anything about it. When he runs 29 times for 156 yards and three touchdowns, like, he's pretty good, like, you know?
Right.
And that was the moment where, like, yeah, Ricky Williams is pretty fucking good. And they got to 4-3, and you were like, and the thing is, people don't remember this, Kevin, is like back in the day, you know, now they have all the balanced schedule with the NFL, right? Where like you play everybody in your division, you play one division from the NFC, one division from the AFC, and two teams that finish in the same spot in the division as you. But in 2000, that's not how it was, dude. In 2000, you got what we used to call the last place schedule, which was a fucking dream. Like, that's what you clung to if you were a bad team. You're like, well, we get the last place schedule, and you just played, like, every... Like, the NFL, to create parody, would just say, all the shitty teams are just going to play each other. And, like, one of y'all make the playoffs, because, you know. And that was the thing. Like, the Saints' schedule in that year was so bad. But, I mean, I feel like people... Kevin, do you feel like people... I don't feel like people held it against Ricky Williams that Ditka was irresponsible to get him. Is that fair?
I don't know. I think I would say some people did hold it against him because, like, he didn't... it's like, yeah, he had these big games, but it never... He never felt like this... He never... It never felt like, okay, this is the guy, like, the whole... his whole career has justified Mike Ditka making this asinine decision.
No. And he was and
it was just like what and then he gets traded away.
And he becomes
at that point it's everybody can just write him off. And I never felt like there was
well, 2002 Ricky Williams with the Dolphins. The Saints never got that Ricky Williams. Even Ricky Williams in 2000 was kind of fat, and he was still really good, but he was kind of fat, and he wasn't great. 2000, 2001, he was good. When they traded him, he got, in super shape and, rolled for the Dolphins. That's why the Saints ended up getting two number ones for him, because when the Saints traded him, they're like, we get a number one, and if he runs for 1,800 yards, we get a second number one. And he did it for the Dolphins in 2002. So he was never as good as he was with the Saints as he was with the two years with the Dolphins. But anyway, I mean, the Saints were...
But I tell you what, I would definitely say you got to smash Mike Ditka more for that. I mean, you can't blame I get you can't blame the player if a franchise is going to go stupid and draft them and put on and do some weird picks or whatever to draft them, but the guy didn't. Maybe it was unfair because it put all this pressure and all these expectations on Ricky Williams that really almost no player could live up to.
Yeah, and then
so maybe that's the point. And then again, you circle it back around, you come back, and you're like, man, I really hate Ditka.
We did the Ditka years, the Ditka. I mean, the Ricky Williams trade, if for ridiculousness, it'll never be topped. So the Saints, they beat Atlanta, then they play Arizona, and they beat Arizona. Arizona back then, it's terrible. They're 5-3, and then they played San Francisco. And my favorite thing about that San Francisco game was. The Saints jumped out on San Francisco 28-0 at the half. And my favorite part of that was the Saints had a fourth and like half a yard from their own 33. And Jim Hassett was like, fuck it. We're up 21-0. We're going for it. And I remember the dome just going crazy because, you know, you have the Ditka years of just awfulness. And before that, you had the Moore years, which were good. But Moore was never you never would characterize Moore as a risk taker, right? Moore was always punt, I played good defense, and we're going to win. So it was this fuck yeah, we're going for it. And it's San Francisco, the team you hate the most. We're we're up 21-0. We're going to fucking stick our boot on their fucking neck. And they got it, and they drove down and scored. And it was the dome was just loving it. And after the game, Jim Mora Jr. was that's so disrespectful. They're going for it on their own 30-yard line. And it was just people loved it. And they got to 6-3, and... You know, that year, the NFC was just garbage. The Giants ended up going to the Super Bowl. Minnesota, they had gone to Culper, but they weren't great. It was one of those years where, the whole conference is down. So people started looking around, and you're like, dude, the Saints are 6-3, and the NFC kind of blows. I mean, maybe? And then the next week, they go to Carolina, and they beat Carolina. But then the run of injuries started, Kevin. You know, where they lose.
Well, wait, before you get to the bad news, let me say some good news here. So I'm looking at the attendance. They sold out every home game except for the Panthers game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say that. Then during the stretch of wins that you just ran off, they outscored their opponents 148-70.
Yeah, they were rolling. The one thing I will, and before we get to the injuries that just killed them, you know, I forgot to mention this, and I'll just blame the alcohol. You know, the Saints, that 2000 team may have had the worst preseason a Saints team has had in my lifetime. Not in the way that they looked on the field. Their first preseason game, Kevin, they lost Cam Cleland out for the year. Rob Kelly, say whatever you want about Rob Kelly. They expected him to start at safety. He was out for the year. They signed a corner, Steve Israel, from the Patriots. He broke his head. They lost three starters on the first two motherfucking series of the preseason. And, like, literally, I think John Clayton called it Black Saturday in a post on ESPN.com for the Saints. And, like, can you – I don't ever remember a preseason game being that horrible,
no.
Horrible for injuries.
No.
You know? And the thing is, the injuries continued. Like, they played Carolina. They beat them 20-10. But Ricky Williams breaks his ankle. He gets to 1,000 yards. With a ton of games to go, by the way, like that could have been a monstrous year for Ricky Williams if you think about it, because they still had a ton of games to go, and he had 1,000 yards after 10 weeks. Like that could have been a monstrous year for him. He breaks his ankle, and you're like, "Fuck, it's the same." And then the next week, which they play the Raiders, and they just get housed. Like, but the thing is, Jeff Blake breaks his leg hideously, and he's out, and he's never the same. Like, would you agree, like, Jeff Blake was never close to being as good as he was with the – he was never as good as he was with the 2000 Saints after he broke the – after he broke the league. He was never as good in the NFL ever again. Is that fair to say?
Right. Yes.
And on the sad stadium scale, Kevin, there are two stadiums that I've – well, I would say three times I've walked out of a Saints game where the crowd has just been – or football games, that the crowd has just been utterly just broken. The first is the 92 playoff game against the Eagles. They were winning 20-6. They end up losing, it falls apart in the fourth quarter. They lose by a couple of scores. Like, that stadium was just set, because you knew, you're like, the Mora team, they're getting old. They're now 0-4 in the playoffs under Moore. Like, it's never going to happen, probably, and you're just sad. The second one was in 2007, LSU lost the final game of the year to Arkansas when they were number one. And you were like, they lost in, like, I think it was two or three overtimes. So you were like, they lost in overtime to Arkansas. The national championship is gone. It's all flushed down the toilet. It was just silence. And the other one is this game, the Raider game, where the Saints. They lose, they're 7-4, and they lose Jeff Blake, and they're playing this rookie who, by the way, they traded for him, like, I think the week before the season started, they traded, like, a second-round pick or something to the Green Bay Packers, and it was like, huh? They're playing Aaron Brooks, you're like, oh, they're fucked. They're playing the Rams next week, the defending Super Bowl champion. Like, I've never been at a Saints, I don't think I've ever walked out of a Saints game that's ever been sadder. Even in, like, you pick any horrific loss you want to say that the Saints have ever, like, walking out of that stadium, like, it was like a funeral, Kevin.
Oh, it was a third round pick.
It was for Aaron Brooks?
Yeah. The Packers traded Brooks and tight end Lamont Hall for linebacker KD Williams and the Saints third round pick in the 2001 draft.
Lamont Hall, his number one job was to shit stir. On special teams and during the game. Like, that was his job. He's a shit stirrer. And he played for the Saints for a while, too. But anyway, continue. I don't know if I was at the game. Like, that was so sad. Like, it was like a funeral. Like, the thing is, Kevin, at that point, the Saints never having won a playoff game. It just felt like Charlie Brown trying to kick the football at that point. It was just like, you felt like the universe was against us.
Yeah.
So, think of it, Kevin, you know, we talk about regular season when, you know, we talked about in a previous podcast, you know, the best regular Saints season win. Kevin, we forgot about this one. They go to the Rams the next week, the Super Bowl champion Rams, and don't have Ricky Williams, they don't have Jeff Blake, and they go to the Rams and they win. 31-24, and I will say this about Haslam: he wasn't a good coach, a good head coach. He and you can knock him for that. But the thing that I always liked about Haslam was he was head first, balls to the wall, reckless. and he didn't give a fuck. And when it worked, it was great. Like, they played that Rams game. They opened the game with an onside kick. You know? Like, and it, like Jim Haslett, he didn't have a lot of good qualities, but I love that about him. The funny thing about that game, Kevin, is Aaron Brooks, like, he wasn't great in that game. He was only, like, 15 of 31. But
17 of 20. I'm looking at the number right now. 17 of 29.
17 of 29. But it felt like he could be really good from the start of that. Am I remembering that long? Like, I remember people being like, wow, he can run around.
Like,
he can make,
oh yeah. You can see the, I think that's why guys like me stayed on the Aaron Brooks train as long as we did, is because we knew the talent was there. We knew the skill was there.
Yeah.
We'd seen the guy could run and extend a play, and we knew he could pass. I mean, the guy had you hate saying the guy had all the skill in the world, but he had the skills.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, I'm looking at the box score, the scoring on the box score.
Yeah.
The first touchdown that Brooks throws in the game is with 8 seconds left in the first quarter to some unknown journeyman named Brian Milne.
Brian Milne. Oh, the good times of him. Like, they had Gerald Moore at running back in that game. He had 18 carries for 61 yards. But the thing about that game that is sort of lost.
God damn it. I said Milne and not. There you go. I said Milne, not Milne.
Yeah, Milne. That's the street I grew up on in Lakefield. So the one thing about that game that I feel like is kind of, you know, these games get so long ago. And I do it in my column, Kevin. Like, now, whenever I do Saints references to previous things, I'm like, I can't reference anything before 2000 because the majority of the people that read this won't know it. You know, so you got to keep that in mind. But the thing that I feel like is lost to history to that game, I think that game contained one of the best individual defensive performances by a Saints player in the history of the franchise. It might be number one. Leroy Glover in that game just destroyed the fucking Rams in a way that, if you go back, and it's magical. Like, we've been predisposed to such bad defense over the last generation, Kevin. We almost forget what it looks like, right? You know,
yeah.
That 2000 team had 66 fucking sacks. They sacked Steve Berline 17 and a half times in two games. Like, that's ridiculous. But Leroy Glover, he sacked Trent Green on the last play. Warner had a concussion. I mean, That defensive line, they had Leroy Glover, Joe Johnson, Darren Howard, all had double-digit sacks, and they had, rest in peace, one of my all-time favorite Saints players, Norman Hand, was just, he was so fun, Kevin.
I say fat ass with absolute love and adoration.
Yeah.
Absolute love and adoration. This guy, I mean, I could have swore, like, during a, maybe it was during a preseason practice or something, the guy was wearing like two jerseys taped together to cover him. Like, I don't know if it was two jerseys taped together or if it was a jersey that was given like the Mike Tyson treatment where it was cut up the side so it could just like just pull it over his head and just have him play like that. But I mean, man, that was a man baby.
He was great. And funny story about him is, we'll get, you know, as we go through the season, I just want to jump to it. They played the Rams in the last game of the year, and if the Saints would have won, they'd have got a bye, and they didn't. And the Rams won, and they had to play the Rams the next week, and Marshall Faulk just ran fucking wild on him. Norman Hand was so mad about it in the press conference. In his interview afterwards, he stayed in his uniform and answered questions in his uniform. He was so mad. He just sat at the chair and answered the questions in the uniform. And I remember watching the news. I was like, dude, I love you. Like, you care as much as we care about this. He's just answering questions in full uniform. I was like, yes. But that team, Kevin, listen to their sack. Leroy Glover, 17. Joe Johnson, 12. Darren Howard, 11. Keith Mitchell, 6.5. Willie Whitehead had 5.5. Willie Whitehead was the fifth best pass rusher on that team. I would give a week's pay to have Willie Whitehead and his 5.5 sacks play defensive end for the 2017 Saints. Like, that's how good that pass rush was. Ridiculous. You know, Kevin, this is how good it was. It was so good it got Ron Zook the Florida job. That's how good the 2000 Saints defense was. Florida looked at it and was like, Ron Zook, he must be a good coach. He helped the Saints win a playoff game. And they hired Ron Zook to replace Steve Spurrier. Like, that's how good that defense was. So,
the Saints, they struggled, and you know, they got housed by Denver the next week. But then I want to say another, maybe I want to say, and this will give me a lot of flack, but I still say they went to San Francisco, Kevin, and that game Aaron Brooks played, I still say it's a top five individual performance by an offensive player in Saints history. He was phenomenal in that game, and he ran for 100 yards, threw a couple of touchdowns, and 12 of 29, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Doesn't sound great, but he ran 11 times for 108, and like the Saints had to, that 49er team was bad, but the Saints had to battle their ass off to win that game.
Yeah,
and I'll tell you a funny story about this. Kenny Wilkerson, rest his soul too, he's on the sideline. He said he almost got thrown out of the game because he was so excited and yelling at the ref about spots and stuff. And that the Saints were just, it was, I mean, that 2000 team, I mean, Kevin, it's hard to, I mean, it's so long ago, it's hard to remember because it's like 2000, like you had the internet, right? But you didn't have like social media. So I feel like you didn't have this community of Saints fans that you have now, right? You know, like, I feel like there's Saints fans that I've never met in person, but like I interact with them on Twitter and they interact with us on the podcast, and I feel like there's a great community. In 2000, yeah, you had the internet, but it was just sort of like you experienced the Saints in your own little way, right? You watched the game, you read the paper, you might have got on the internet and gone to ESPN.com and dial up. It was a pain in the ass. You know, so it was this weird, like, it was just a different experience. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Yeah, like, I mean, you know, I didn't know you. I can't remember. I think Dave might have just moved.
Yeah.
To the city. I don't know what Jude was doing. He was probably still beating middle-aged women in tennis. I don't know.
Yes. He's been doing that his whole life.
But yeah, it was basically, all right, sit and watch the game with your family, which, you know, is always a fun experience. Anybody that knows my family. And then either be happy for an hour or piss and moan about it for about 3 hours.
Yeah.
We'd go out to
turn on Buddy D.
We would leave to go somewhere to go eat and yeah, turn on Buddy D for the drive home.
Yeah. I remember, like, Buddy D, my grandma was nice enough to wear it when she was a world traveler, and she said, if you ever want to go to Europe, I'll pay for it. So I went and studied LSU Europe abroad, and I did that in 2000 in the summer, and I came back, and I didn't have a job. I graduated school. I worked as a master control operator at Channel 32. And I had to work, like, I had to work on Sundays, so I'd watch the game, and I'd listen to Buddy. And Buddy D, after that Rams game, was euphoric. Like, he came on the air and was like, this is the biggest win in Saints history, bar none. And he was just like there was a joy about the 2000 team that was so fun. And I think it would have been even more fun with the internet if we'd had, like, Twitter and stuff. But it was just a different experience. So the Saints, and they finish up And, you know, they finish up the year and they beat San Francisco to get to 9 wins. And then the next week they beat a really bad Atlanta team to get to 10-5. And they win like 23-7, you know, and so like they go in, like we said, they go into the final, and man, Kevin, I hate to be like, what if? But man, if they beat the Rams in that final game, like that year, the NFC was so fucking terrible. Like Kerry Collins ended up winning the Super Bowl with the going to the Super Bowl with the Giants. Like I want to say, like if the Saints had been 30% luckier with injuries, like that team could have won the NFC. Like the NFC was shitty. Or am I just too drunk now? Am I off the rails?
I think you might be too drunk now. I think I could see, okay. I could see them getting to the second round. Who else was in the
playoffs? It was Minnesota. The Giants were the 1 seed. Minnesota was the 2 seed. The Saints were the 3 seed. And I forget the 4 and 5 seeds. Oh, Philadelphia. Okay.
Tampa and Philadelphia.
And then the Rams were the 6th seed.
Okay, so the Rams would have been out of the playoffs, so who would have gotten in?
I guess the Detroit would have got in. So the Saints would have played Detroit.
Well, that's if – well, were the Saints still going to be the 3 seed, or would they have been a 2?
Well, no, they'd have been the 2 seed. They'd have been the 2 seed.
Okay, so then they'd have gotten a bye, so then it would have been, what, Detroit against Minnesota?
It probably would have been the
Saints. Or Philadelphia against Minnesota?
Yeah, it probably would have been – well, it would have been the Saints versus Minnesota – in the dome, maybe. But Dante Culpepper had a hurt ankle, and I just feel like with the dome crowd and that pass rush, although that was like Randy Moss at his apex, you know. That's like
right.
So maybe it worked out. Maybe it worked out better. Maybe it would have been a heartbreaking loss. I just feel like that was one of those years. Well, it was the same thing in 2006 with the Saints too. Like the NFC was garbage in 2006. The Saints in 2006 went 10-6 and got a bye. And not only did they go 10-6, they went 10-6 and took the last week off. Like they had the bye. They were 10-5 and had the bye sewn up. You know?
Right. I mean, they took Drew Brees out after the first series.
Yeah.
And everybody was like, oh, this is the MVP of the league. And then, of course, you know, he doesn't get anything, you know, because LaDainian Tomlinson went nuts. And, you know, Lord forbid the league split the MVP vote.
Yeah. So.
But whatever. Whatever.
Let's get to the playoff game, which was just joy. So they're playing the Rams. Kurt Warner is concussed, but he's back playing. You know, this is pre-concussion protocol, you know. And all that. So the Saints, Kurt Warner in that game was 24-40, 365, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Aaron Brooks, 16-29, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception. He threw Willie Jackson had 3 touchdowns. Like one of the, like, I feel like Willie Jackson, like, not that he deserves, like, to be in the Saints Hall of Fame, but I feel like they need, like, a room of just, like, great, iconic Saints performances from weird dudes, you know?
Yeah.
And he's up there. So that playoff game, like, the Saints were just rolling the Rams. And then it, like, Ben, the thing that happened was injuries hit him. Like, Joe Horn got hurt on the first series of that game. And they had, that's why Willie Jackson caught all them touchdowns, because Joe Horn was hurt.
Right.
But then they lost people in the, like, literally the Saints by the end of the game, where they were, like, out of corners. Like, Alex Molden got hurt. Mathis got hurt. Like, they were out of fucking corners, and that's why the Rams started coming back. But I can tell you, like, there was a key play where the Saints were up, I think it was 28,
They never had 28. It was either 24 or 31.
It was when they were up. It was when they were up 31-20. The Rams got the ball back, and Sammy Knight intercepted a ball in the end zone to kill a drive, which would have been more points for the Rams. But
right,
the sense of doom in that stadium when it was 31-28, and they're punting to Azakim, and there's like a minute and something on the clock.
Oh, yeah, absolute.
Just absolute fear in that stadium was beyond nothing I've ever seen.
I mean, I was working at the video store at the time. I don't even know if they're still around anymore. I was working at a major video down by Causeway.
In Lakeside?
Yeah, it was near Lakeside, but it was across and on the other side of Causeway. And we had the game on. There were only a few times that we were ever allowed to throw a sports game on. Otherwise, we had to have otherwise we just had to be watching the security camera.
Yeah.
So we throw the game on, and people were crowded. You know, they would come and walk in and just like look at the screen for, you know, watch the game for about 5 or 10 minutes, and then go and look for a movie, and then come and watch another 5 minutes or so, and then leave. But the last, I don't know, 5 minutes of regulation, maybe the last 6 minutes of regulation.
Ugh, brutal.
Everybody was, there were about 10 or 15 people watching the TV, and I'm going up and I'm looking at the thing. So basically the Saints were up 31-7. And then with at 9:36 left in regulation, the Rams cut it 31-13.
Yeah.
And then it becomes 31-20 with less than 4 minutes left in regulation. So yeah, so that's when there were people.
You were like, oh,
really gathering around the TV. That's when there were like 10 people around there at that point. So then they get up to the 31-28 thing, and at that point, people are just like, oh, this is what happens.
This is every time. Every time, it is the full Saint is about to happen. Like, they had to burn the franchise to the ground and salt the earth if they'd have lost the game. And I remember, as God is my witness, I turned to my mom and I said, Azakim, he fumbles fucking punts all the time. He needs to do what he does best, and that's fumble this fucking punt. And he did it. And I was like, oh my God. And credit Brian Milne. Credit, like, that wasn't a thing where like Azakim fumbled it and it like went right to him. Like, that was like a full on like crazy ass scrum for that ball.
Yeah.
You know? And another time, we talked about it before with the River City Reunion. Like, Jim Henderson's call is like this joy and relief, and just like it's so Jim Henderson. I know, like, the call for in the Super Bowl, like, there is a guy, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl, like, he admitted he had a couple of things ready for that, and the party with Lombardi, yeah. like those are still awesome and great. But the Azakim ball, like, you know, like, he didn't have that. Like, he didn't script that out. You know, like, that's just on the spot. And another thing that makes it great. So, like, because they have won so much in the Peyton era, the Azakim moment in that playoff game gets pushed down the list, which is a good thing, right? You don't want to just be like, what's the greatest moment in Saints history? Oh, that Azakim. It's good that it gets pushed down. But, like, now in 2017, like, where does it rank? I still think it ranks pretty high, right?
Yeah. Yeah, this is still the number one moment for me.
I mean,
it's still the number one moment for me.
I mean, it was, and I know this, it was weird, but I always, like, as I get older with sports, I wish I would have appreciated certain things more. You know, like, in 2009, I was old enough to where I was like, you have got to appreciate this awesomeness. And 2011, too, to a certain extent, even though it didn't end like we wanted. But in 2000, like, just in that moment when the people were walking out of the stadium, like, people were just, it was just a joy. And I remember walking out of the tunnel with my mom, and we're walking out, and we get out of the dome, and you know, you come out and you go down the main ramp, right, to the A gate. But we come out, and there are two people, like, against the wall. Like, you know, when you walk out in the dome, they have the you walk out and they have like the bars in front, right? They had two people just making out feverishly as we come out the door. Like two, like probably like in their teens, right? Just making out. And I'm like, unbelievable. Only in New Orleans would you come out of a Saints playoff game. And
I don't know about that. Maybe some Jets fans.
Maybe some Jet fans. But it was like, there's two people making out, and it's a Ricky Williams jersey and a Jeff Blake jersey, and they're making out. And I was like, that's amazing. I love New Orleans. It's the greatest place on earth. You know, and I think part of 2000, like, it doesn't get its due because we felt like it was the beginning of something, right? Like, it's the first year of Haslett. Aaron Brooks, he's young. He can run. He can throw. It's great. Ricky Williams will come back healthy. Next year, we'll have everybody back, and this is, like, going to be the beginning of something special. And it wasn't. And I feel like because of that, it never gets its due. Is that fair?
I would certainly think so. Yeah, I mean, it would. I mean, that, like, that's total jubilation. That's absolute jubilation. And to go from voice cracking Henderson to just, you know, mediocrity and then malaise and then just, you know, some scandal and just crap play.
Yeah,
for the next 5 years.
Yeah,
it's
I feel like miserable. if you had flipped it around, well, granted, it would change Saints history altogether if you flipped it around. But if Haslett had come in and like built slowly and like 2000, he goes 7-9 and then 8-8 and then 8-8, 9-7 and then in like 2003 or 2004 built to that playoff game and won, the feelings of it would be much warmer. Of course, the rest of Saints history might be different. But you know what I'm saying? Like, because it happened, it was the first thing, and then the rest of it was all disappointed, there wasn't any building to it. So it changes how you feel about it. But I still, tell me if I'm crazy, and then we'll be done with this. But I feel like in sports, the best things, the most fun years are the years when you win a championship or the year where you go from you were terrible and you weren't worth a shit prior to that, and it's the, oh my God, we're good again. Like that, those years are the most enjoyable. Because you don't have any expectations, right?
You're playing with house money.
Yeah, you're like, we've been bad for a decade and now we're good. Like, this is great. Like, I didn't expect it. But like once you start to layer expectations on it, it's still fun, but it's not as fun. So that wraps up the 2000 Saints. It's been a joy. Kevin, thanks for joining us. I am so drunk now. Anyway, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks to all of our Saints Happy Hour listeners whose donations made Drunk Saints history possible. Until next time, remember, surviving Saints history is hard. That's why God made alcohol.